Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
NFL commissioner who has been, in my eyes, an incompetent mess. And I'm not someone who gets paid because of decisions Roger Goodell makes, and that's why I feel that way, and that's why the owners, most of them at least, feel a different way and gave him another contract extension. Now, it could be worth $40 million a year, $200 million total, but a lot of it is tied into incentives that apparently, according to reports right now, are very attainable incentives. So I don't know why they ended up doing that.
Show up on time.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Breathe in oxygen on a daily basis and see $10 million bonus. So it's confusing to me. And I need your help on this. I need others' help on this. And the best thing that I can come up with is why most of these owners are so desperate to retain Roger Goodell as a commissioner is that he's the guy that, for lack of a better term, takes the bullets for him. He's the person that stands out in front
right.
of their cause and is the joke. So the booing that he gets and that directed anger towards him from the fans is really booing towards the entire league and the owners that make up that league. But for the most part, the owners are in the background. Hey, we're over here. We're not doing anything bad. He's the commissioner. You go yell at him. And they don't want to change that for a couple of reasons. One, he does take all that heat. And also, they've made a lot of money recently right. with television deals and things like that that allow them to feel comfortable with Roger Goodell, and they don't want someone new coming in who's going to change all these policies, who's going to try to make the league something else. And I really think that this is going to aid in the downfall of the popularity of the NFL, that they aren't more forward-thinking in saying that we need a new set of eyes to take a look at this to maximize what we're doing, as opposed to sticking with the same old plan that I believe is starting to be a sinking ship.
Well, it's clear that the pie has grown under the leadership of Roger Goodell, and he is the proxy for the team owners. How many times have you seen an owner boot at these games? And these owners show up at all the games. You never see them boo, do you?
I mean, not even Dan Snyder, right. I don't think,
never,
gets booed,
ever,
does he?
Ever do you see anything like that at a game when the owner
well,
is present?
Well, maybe the Dean Spanos, like the, when they move
well,
the
when
team.
They were moving. But aside from that.
Yeah, very rare. Know,
and they are part and parcel with what's going on with this league and the problems that the league has had to experience. And their guy, their leader, the guy who does their dirty work is Roger Goodell, and they like what he's. They may not like 100% what he's doing, but they like those checks that the league is writing. And when you look at the dollars that the league is still generating, billions of dollars, and you're talking about teams that their cut is about, you know, anywhere $200-300 million a season. Do you want to upset that apple cart? Yeah, there's an issue here, there's an issue there, and he could have handled this a little bit better. But do you see the number zeros before the decimal point on this check? And money rules. We find that out, you know, every day here lately with what's going on the political scene. It's all about that bottom line, and he has affected the bottom line in a good way. And now, if the numbers continue to decline as far as TV ratings, and you see a dip and a cut in that pie, if it becomes, if it gets threatened, then and only then will you see the powers that be, the ones who have propped up Roger Goodell, you'll see them make a move. That's the only time you're going to see, unless he does something that's totally egregious outside of football, he's going nowhere because he's helping them generate so much cash.
I think another factor is the latest CBA negotiations were such a win. Yeah. For the NFL, that they don't want a new commissioner in there and a new set of people, a new group to go in, negotiate the next one for them because they're afraid of losing some of that power. And they look back on that last one and say, why are we going to get rid of the man who was most responsible for us winning this thing in such a big way? And the more I hear from the players and the more that I go back to that time, I mean, what a joke that negotiation was. I mean, those guys got absolutely, the players that is, absolutely bamboozled into something that they didn't want, but for whatever reason, they weren't good enough to get. I mean, they were not good enough in the negotiations to get exactly what they wanted. And I don't know if they're going to be any better the next time around.
Right. You know, hindsight is 20/20, and they weren't willing to do what you're going to have to do if you want to affect change down the league and get a better deal. And what do they have to do? We all know what they have to do. They need to sit. And then are you cool with doing that? If you've had a lengthy career, or if you've been a young player in this league and you've amassed a ton of dollars, it won't hurt you as much as it's going to hurt the lion's share of the players. So are you willing to take that hit? No pun intended, but are you? That's going to be the key, and that's the only way they are going to be able to get a better deal is if they sit, and they
so
understand
tough.
That.
So
well,
tough.
Of course
because,
it is.
You know, you got these guys that are – well, you hear the Players Association talking about prepare yourself, you know, to some of the younger yeah. players that are definitely going to be around for the next CBA negotiation. Prepare yourself financially. There's a pool of money that they have available to help out certain players. But then you think about these young guys that are just coming out of college or the first-year guys in a rookie contract that are thinking, you know, I can't – I mean, I'm going to have to go and get a regular job if there's no football.
Well, so be it. You should. Go. You should think about that. And I'm one who didn't concern myself with Plan B. And I should have. So if you have to do it sooner than you might think, great for you. That's going to help you down the line. So think about Plan B and Plan C in case your number one employment goes away. So it's never too early to be mindful of that fact. So I would be preaching that all day long at these rookie seminars, you know, whether you're a first-round pick or your eighth-round pick or undrafted free agent. You should be thinking about your next life. Because football, you, as Aaron Taylor always said, you'll be a former player longer than you will be a current player. So they should concern themselves with that. And if this is the impetus for you to do that, the fact that you might sit, you might strike, oh, so be it. No matter what compels you to think about life after football, think about it.
You know what I can already see coming is the NFL using this tact in the next negotiation. Look, our TV ratings went down, and as a result of that, we either have negotiated now cheaper TV deals than the ones we had previously, or we foresee the fact that that's happening, or going to happen, and it's all because you guys kneeled. And since you guys kneeled, and now we don't have as much money as we used to, now you're going to have to pay for that. I can just see them using that tact, and they always do something. They always convince the players of something that they really don't even believe in and then pull off the table and act like it was like removing a kidney for them, like they did with that 18-game schedule, which was a genius ploy that ended up really working for them when they said, we are so steadfast in this 18-game schedule, we will not proceed without an 18-game schedule. This is what we want more than anything. And then they said, you know, the player's like, no, 18-game schedule. And the NFL goes, all right, we're pulling away this 18-game schedule, and we're not happy about it, but you better give us everything else we want. Oh, okay, sure. And that's how they want it.
Well, there's always an intricate plot. And you have to sift through that and find the truth within that. And, yeah, they'll come with some bargaining chip and some idea of how we can display to them that they are at fault because of the declining numbers. And then your pushback, well, if the protest was a problem, why did you allocate $80, $100 million to helping us with social issues out in larger society if it was such a problem? So you'll get there, and at times you'll see through their BS, they'll see through yours, and eventually you'll have a meeting of the minds in which you think both sides can agree on a fair deal. And it, obviously, the last time they sat down, it wasn't a fair deal, and now the players, they're really going to have to go to extreme measures if they want to move forward with the league and a better CBA.
Do you think that if the Patriots didn't win the Super Bowl the year of the Brady suspension, that Roger Goodell would still be getting this contract extension? And the reason I bring this up is Bob Kraft was as angry as Jerry Jones, if not angrier, about what happened to Tom Brady. He hated his guts, Goodell. Bob Kraft hated Goodell's guts. And wouldn't talk to him, wouldn't listen to him, and they were fast friends in the beginning when he was
snatched
the commissioner.
Snatched the Lombardi from him.
Right. He just hated him. So then they go and win the Super Bowl, and then Bob Kraft's like, okay, I mean, we came out on top. If they had not and had like a brutal season and he still held that against Roger Goodell, I wonder if Jones and Kraft together could have recruited enough other people to not have Roger Goodell be the commissioner.
Well, Kraft is on that compensation committee, and he's one, I think there's six members on there with Blank being the chairman.
He's never going to be a champion.
He might, man.
Just get real.
They might
figure it out. Had their shot last year.
Now, I don't know if that would have been an underlining factor as for him to deny Roger Goodell an extension, but if he was still highly upset and the season had not gone in the manner in which they like for all seasons to go there in New England, do you hold that against the commissioner, or do you say, once again, look at these zeros before the decimal point, and we are generating boatloads of cash, and so I'm going to put that aside, the fact that I still hold a lot of angst and consternation towards the league office and Roger Goodell personally, and sign off on this.
Yeah, I really think that both those guys, angry enough, would have prevented him from being the commissioner.
Well, he's not going to partner with Jerry Jones after what Jerry Jones said about him. I mean, if you think Robert Kraft is bad, Robert Kraft is up to me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He's up compared
to
me.
Hold on a second.
Compared to me and my mosquito?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's up.
I mean, is there something to be said that, like, these bazillionaires and their lawyers and the NFL going against the Players Association, no matter how hard they try, are always going to lose? I mean, is it fair to say that? Because
that the players are always going to lose?
Yeah. Oh, like, it's never going to be anywhere near where they want it to be.
They have to strike. That's the only way. You have to strike. And they understand that's the only way they're going to get a fair deal or a better deal from the league.
Now, I wasn't around the last work stoppage, extended work stoppage, where there was replacement players. Wasn't around, meaning I guess it happened when I was alive, but it wasn't something that was on my radar. So I just,
and the game, it was popular, but did it have the popularity it has now? I don't think any sport had the popularity then that it does now. You know, maybe baseball was the number one sport. We all watched that, but because you just didn't have the different platforms, you weren't as in tune because you didn't have, it wasn't on every day, and you didn't have highlight shows throughout the day talking about it, and it just wasn't top of brain every hour like it is now.
I would also look at, if I was an owner, I mentioned this before, I'd look at baseball and I'd look at basketball, and basketball especially, and say, you know, when David Stern was a commissioner of the NBA, things were good for the NBA. I mean, there was no reason to want to get rid of David Stern as the commissioner. But then Adam Silver came in, and things have been so much better.
They've just been remarkable. The league is as popular as it's ever been right now, and it continues to grow. So I'm just really surprised that they didn't say, let's find the right guy to be a little more innovative here at this crossroads where we are, as opposed to going down the same old bullcrap road that has got us in one of the weirdest positions the league's been in decades.
Well, you know, I still give David Stern a ton of credit because he had the league on good, solid footing. And then Silver, who's been one of his co-contributors there, and in a big way, he steps in, and it's a seamless transition, and they continue.
Right. I mean, a retirement's different than a firing, I understand. Right. But, I mean, it still shows you, though, that something new can really, really help in both of those leagues. It's not like they were terrible baseball and basketball before that, but they're in much better places than they were with the old guys.
Well, we like the fresh face, and as far as Adam Silver, he has been so open to thinking outside the box. I think that's what really has garnered him such a favorable rating. Is the fact he'll discuss anything, he'll broach any topic. Now he may not ultimately sign off on it, but he's open to it. He's agreeable to a dialogue. And you just don't see that. And maybe that's going on behind the scenes at the league office, and it's just not thrust out in public as much as the NBA does it. But I think that's why Adam Silver, you just see him not afraid to talk about the gambling aspect, not afraid to talk about the protests that are ongoing during NFL games. He's just out front, and he discusses Donald Sterling, boom, quick action on his part. Now, we can't have this in our league. No way in hell we're going to have that. You're done. Sell the team. And he was so proactive and forceful in that situation. And he's just taking over, and he has that handed to him. That's plopped down on your plate. Something as incendiary as that. And look how he maneuvered.
Coming up next, we are on our way to seeing the worst hire in sports be front and center. Coming right back.
You're listening to Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Bogish is back with us, and he's got some sports news for us. What's going on, Bogish?
Guys, Alabama defensive coordinator T. Martin will be the new football coach at Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt, actually. He can be formally hired later today. He'd like to coordinate that tie D through the college football playoffs while recruiting and building his staff in Knoxville.
We've gone through that, haven't we? Didn't we go through that last year with Lane Kiffin being named the coach at FAU, and he coached one game in the playoffs and he was out of there because they didn't feel like he had 100% focus on Alabama? So how's Pruitt going to be able to do it?
Kirby Smart did it, did he not?
Kirby Smart did it as well.
I think that was more of a Lane Kiffin
thing. They weren't
happy
with Kirby Smart doing it either. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it plays out.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be an issue for T. Martin.
No, it wouldn't.
That's a very good point. It's another reason why he should have a job at South Alabama.
Hey.
USA. USA.
Fordham's open.
Yeah. It's going to be open.
Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier is now in a Pittsburgh hospital. His spine injury still being evaluated and treated, so no public diagnosis just yet. The NFL Competition Committee will discuss a college football-like targeting rule, including an ejection, when it meets in February. Roger Goodell's embattled extension is complete, at least in terms of signatures. All owners still need to approve the bonuses and incentives in the five-year deal that could push Goodell's total compensation to $200 million. And Warren Moon has taken a leave of absence from the Seahawks radio broadcast. He is being sued for sexual harassment by his former executive assistant. Second-ranked Kansas taking its first loss of the season, 74-65 to Washington in Kansas City. Jayhawks head coach Bill Self feeling for their fans.
If I'd have paid to see that, I probably would have wanted something to drink.
Kansas just 5 okay. of 20 from 3 last night. Fifth-ranked Florida losing at home to Loyola Chicago, 65-59. Number 11, North Carolina pounded Western Carolina, 104-61. Number 13, Xavier took care of Kent State, 96-70. The Cavaliers won again last night.
5 seconds on the shot clock, 20 seconds on the game clock. It's lobbed to LeBron. He's at the right point. He works on Sampson. Step back three. He nails it.
John Michael, Cavs radio. LeBron, the put-away 3-0, 101-95 defeat of the Kings. Team record tying 13 straight victories for Cleveland. James finished with 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. The T-Wolves down the Clippers, 113-107 at Staples. The Spurs beat the Heat, 117-105. Milwaukee, 104. Detroit, 100. And Kevin Durant led the Warriors through Charlotte, 101-87, 35 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. But don't get used to it.
I don't expect it to be that like that every single game, but tonight I thought it called for it.
The Warriors didn't have Steph Curry or Draymond Green last night. The Angels and Mariners each traded with the Twins yesterday, each getting another $1 million in international bonus money, so now each can offer Shohei Ohtani even more. The Rangers, though, still have the most available. And from the NHL, the Flyers, 4-2 winners in Edmonton. That's two straight victories after 10 straight losses. Guys?
All right, Bogus, thanks. So Herm Edwards, who when I first heard was probably going to get that job, I just thought it was terrible hire, ridiculous, stupid. I couldn't believe that Ray Anderson was just going to go to his best friend to fill a job. He hadn't been in the coaching ranks in college for several decades, hadn't coached a team period for a decade. So it annoyed me. But now I could not be happier about this because he is, and it'll slow down a little bit, I'm sure, but he is turning into that guy who just provides daily content because he's just clueless. So we originally had him in his press conference. The first clueless thing was him.
The devil?
Right.
Devil's Digest.
I'm Catholic now. I'm a Christian. Watch out them devils.
So he didn't understand. He was talking about the sun devils. I'm a Christian now. Come on. Lucifer's blog. I mean, what you doing? So this one, it's from a video. The audio's not great. Yeah. But so someone walks into his office. They have like a Herm's first day on the job.
Yep. You know, behind the scenes, yeah, and all that with Herm.
Where's the chapel?
Yeah.
So he walks into his office, mm-hmm, and someone presents him with a jersey. All right? A jersey. It's got Edwards on the, yeah, back.
And his number, 46.
He accepts this jersey, and this is what he says.
The girls.
No, this is a game jersey. See how tight it is?
Tight.
Yeah, you can't.
What? You're not expected to put it on, man.
No. You're just going to put on a mannequin in there.
This is a game jersey?
Yeah.
He asked, is this a girl's jersey?
Kind of small. Is this for the kicker?
He goes, no, it's a game jersey. Like he hasn't seen, because the jerseys, they do look, I mean, they look small when they're,
oh, all, yeah, they're shrunken, man.
Right, I mean, they gave me one, the equipment guys, yeah, were nice enough to give me one when I left Pittsburgh, and I hang it up, it's tiny, you know, yeah, it's a small thing, but they stretch out over the pads and everything,
right,
else. But it's just,
and the reason they're made like this, especially for defenders.
Can't grab them, right?
Can't grab them, yeah, and they're tight.
Right,
game jersey.
Yeah,
but still, this is how long he's been gone. He thinks, yeah, it's a female Arizona State merchandise thing. Like that's what he thinks it is.
We got players that small.
Yeah, what?
What did I sign up for?
What's this now? What's this, a pineapple? No, Herm, that's a football. It's a football. This ain't no football.
Ain't no NFL football.
You don't forget how to coach.
Just forget.
They're not bringing me here to play.
You just forget what the jerseys look,
right,
like. How tiny they are.
You don't forget how to coach, but you do forget the name of the team. And you do forget what a jersey look like. But everything else?
Yeah.
I remember. I remember. He's going to screw up on such a grand scale.
Man. I can say that.
Question, well, you haven't coached in a long time. You haven't been on the field.
Yeah, you haven't been on the field. What's that matter?
Well, what's that on your head? That's a helmet? What? That's what they look like now? Let me see them gloves. Man, we had no gloves when I played.
Hey, why's that giant tuning fork hanging out in the end zone?
This is a game jersey?
Yeah.
Herm, those are the goalposts. Get out! Get those goalposts! I thought they were supposed to be in the end zone. They're in the back of the end zone? What? Man.
What are Chili's wearing? We can't have that around here.
Mm-hmm.
No, they got chain clothes. Go back. Go back, chain clothes.
Give me 15 burkas. We're going to put them in that. We're going to dress them like nuns.
That's what I do.
We're going to be the first program. Ray was talking about innovation. Innovation, being innovative.
Yeah.
Doing things nobody's seen before.
Right. Like covered up cheerleaders.
On the college level. So we're going to be the first ever team that has nuns for cheerleaders.
This is a game jersey?
Yeah.
We're going to dress them up. Mm-hmm. What's that called? Seminary? What's
yes.
that?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going. That's what we're going to have.
Seminary.
We're going to yeah. pluck them out of there.
There you go.
And they're going to, instead of cheering, mm-hmm. they're going to be praying.
Yep.
They're going to be praying, not cheering. Mm-hmm.
Praying for the devils.
That's praying for the devil. Because we got to get the devil up out of this program.
I'm Catholic now. I'm a Christian. Watch out them devils. Mm-hmm.
That's why you can't win more than seven games. Because you got the devil in you.
He ignites my soul.
And you got them naked girls on the sideline.
Right, we gonna
can't
get
have
that.
That.
Got to get that out.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get some big old jerseys that everyone can fit in.
I'm telling you right now, ain't going to be no sex up in here. Ain't nobody mm-hmm. having no sex.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. unless you marry one of them nuns.
if you can flip one of them nuns, whoo, I want you.
Then that's okay.
That's right. A five star.
Right. Then you start a nice little family.
Cool, he flipped a nun.
You start a nice family, you have a child in wedlock, then we okay. But otherwise, you're going to stay in that tiny-ass jersey. And you'll be going to sleep. Ain't no drinking. Ain't no sexing. Ain't no smoking. Ain't no cussing. You know what? That's a good idea. Put that up on a sign. Like, Notre Dame, play like a champion today. We're going to have the ain't no sign. All the things you ain't going to be doing.
Right. All the ain'ts. I got eight ain'ts.
And what we're going to do is we're going to touch it every time we go out on the field.
That's right.
Ain't no drinking. Ain't no smoking. Ain't no sexing.
Ain't no tight jerseys.
Well, I guess I can't get away from that.
Apparently. Football.
Ain't no half-dressed cheerleaders.
Yeah, and nuns. That'll be the last thing I'm signing.
I flipped that nun. Okay. Sorry to tell you.
Well, get married, start a family. The right way.
He's going to be the gift that keeps on giving. Right.
Like, you should have gotten the job at Occidental, not Arizona State. You know, biggest, there's a pool party happening yeah. right now there.
Yes.
At 4:32
right.
in the morning.
Like, of course.
There's an ice luge in a cleavage somewhere. Right? And there's Herm.
One of the best party schools on the planet. And Herm Edwards, the head football coach.
I mean, do these girls know they butt cheeks out?
What you do last night, boy? I can smell you. I smell like Mad Dog 2020.
Mm-hmm. We got to add something that ain't no sign.
Mm-hmm. No Mad Dog 2020.
Ain't no bum wine.
No Thunderbird. No Cisco.
This is jersey.
You drinking the 40 ounces? Huh? OE.
Football.
Crooked Eye.
Only thing I want you drinking is football.
Football.
Put it in a blender.
And holy water.
Holy water and put a football in a blender. And dump some holy water up in there.
There's protein in that leather they make those footballs out of.
Do a pulse, go zoom, 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 and drink it up.
Mm. Football.
Do a Hail Mary before you drink it.
Football.
Mm. That's right. That's all you're going to do. Anyway, see you tomorrow, folks.
Oh, man.
Those of you that are going to come with me to build a church. The bus leaves in 5 minutes. The rest of y'all drink your football holy water protein shake.
We got to have a Facebook Live of him giving the pregame speech, man. Oh, got it.
Right.
You're talking about the ratings.
Like, I don't know what this room is we're in. It's the locker room, Coach. Ooh, okay. Well, anyway, it's nice. I'm happy that they gave it to us.
See a lot of devils on the wall.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Can we change the mascot?
I thought we eradicated that, but I guess not. Okay. That would be amazing if they filmed that. It would just be him, like, and the letter to the Corinthians.
And Job said,
"That's gonna be his whole speech."
I know the players gonna be bewildered. Like, huh? What's that got to do with the number of teams that's out there waiting to kick our ass? Okay. I mean, our arch coach. So I'm sorry.
Now, was it before the Arizona game? I read from Deuteronomy. I'm not sure. I gotta. Never mind. Go out there and win the game. Jeez, sitting around here looking at me like I got something for you. Tiny ass jersey. Smoking, sexing, drinking people. I can't fix this. Y'all crazy.
I'm in the lion's den.
What do you think I am? Damn. The devil's around me and the drinking and the sexing and the smoking. What happened to this world? You know, this job's gonna crush him.
Yes,
like he's been up in Bristol. Everybody's been nice to him. He's going back and forth to home, whatever. Like, this job's gonna ruin his faith in humanity.
Devil's Digest, huh?
If he's getting upset at some guy who works for the Devil's Digest, just wait till he has to suspend the player. Oh, you did what now? Oh, damn. He's gonna be like calling the cops every day.
You over in Scottsdale? Told you not to go over there.
Officer Jenkins, the coach again.
Officer Jenkins.
I got six linebackers. I think they're sexing. They're having sex, coach? Uh-huh. And they ain't married. Can you come pick them up? Keep them in there for like a month or two? Let them know what's up. It's not against the law, coach. Oh, hell no, it ain't. I don't know where y'all from. It's against the law up in here. You see my ain't no sign? All right.
Ain't no. I love it.
We got Tank Thomas joining us.
Oh.
Who Mikey B put on the rundown this morning, Hank Thomas. It took me a while to realize who that was.
Tank. Wait, tallest. Hank Thomas?
No, he was just Hank Thomas.
I looked at that and was like, woof. That was a bad one.
I'm thinking, is this another guy who's like a CEO of a bowl? You know, Hank Thomas.
We got to ask him about Herm and whether or not he could play for Herm Edwards.
Oh,
we have to. That's got to be first question.
Well, I think I know the answer, but Hank. Tank.
Ain't no strip club, okay? No wiggle, all right? Ain't none of that.
Yeah, I can't wait for Tank. Guy is the best. We'll talk some NBA coming up next. And Steve Kerr with an interesting take on one of his star players. Coming right back.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Steve Kerr was asked about the Steph Curry injury. He's going to miss around 2 weeks with a sprained right ankle. Oof. So he was not playing last night in a hometown game against the Hornets. And Steve Kerr said, in a weird way, it's a good thing for our team. Obviously, I want all our players healthy. I think big picture-wise, over the next couple weeks, it's an opportunity for our team to get better because we have to. We have no choice. And I agree with him on that point. And I also think, too, that with the amount of basketball that these guys have played, in also a weird way, Steph Curry's getting a little rest, too. And I know you hate that, but the fact of the matter is that this team has played more basketball than anybody else together. And I know that the Cavs as well.
Yeah.
But they've changed their dynamic a lot more than the star players here with the Golden State Warriors have. And it may even help them in the long run. If you think about the Durant injury last year, that Durant injury helped the Warriors because it got Kevin Durant fresh for the postseason, put a chip on his shoulder, certainly. Steph Curry was able to become himself again because they had some issues gelling early on, the two of them. And then when Durant wasn't there, he blossomed and then kept that same edge he had without Durant when Durant came back. The only thing is this is happening very early in the season.
Right.
If he was going to sprain his ankle, sprain it a little bit later in the season. Will
you? Hey, can you time us a little better, Steph Curry, please?
Isn't it crazy, though, how that works, though, with a team that's as talented as them, that things like this are also positives?
Yeah. And you mentioned edge, right? And that's what Steve Kerr is talking about. Now his team has a little edge. They're facing some adversity early in the season, and now they step up their game. And Durant did that in a big way last night. He had a triple-double, am I correct? And so now...
I watched a lot of that game. It was an ESPN game, and it was a fantasy night for us. Durant is as effortless a scorer of the basketball. I kind of hate when people say that, but...
Why?
I just don't, scorer of the basketball. I don't like that. It just should be scorer, and I don't know why I said it that way.
As effortless
of a
person who puts the ball in the hoop.
Right, effortless of a scorer as maybe I've ever seen. Like, and that includes...
He's smooth, yeah.
Like, I mean, that includes Curry, too. I mean, the way that he shoots the ball. But it's just unbelievable when he's on like that. He just gets the ball. It's Mike Breen mentioned last night doing the game with Hubie Brown that... You know, the Hornets for the having the toughest time defensively. They really clamped down the Warriors last night too. They were the toughest time scoring early on in the game. And then Durant just gets the ball and just like,
yeah,
just like he said, it was demoralizing. It's got to be demoralizing for any team that you play against. Well, it's great to see him on the East Coast, by the way, the Warriors.
Yeah, you know, back to the topic at hand. Yes, this forces others to step up. You know, Sean Livingston, did he get the start?
He did start. Yeah.
So
he didn't do anything though.
Right, but it's
more about Iguodala last night.
Yeah, you get all these other guys who now have to step up their game. You get more minutes, and so that overall helps the team because you know what you're getting from Steph Curry when he comes back. Yeah, he's going to be the man. But what else are we working with? And you get to see that now for a couple of weeks. So they're in a good place, and they've dealt with it, as you point out previously, when Durant went down. And so the Warriors will be fine. No one's worried about the Warriors. No one's worried about Cleveland. How about no one's talking about Cleveland now? We got started the basketball season. Oh, what's wrong with Cleveland? They can't do this. They can't. Well, they've wheeled off 13, 14 straight now?
Yeah, they've
now,
been unbelievable.
When Boston was going on their streak, that's all that anyone was talking about. Cleveland goes on a streak and nothing. Crickets.
Well, that's what everybody expects from them, though. Nobody expected.
It's true,
though. You didn't know. That's what it's all about, expectations. You know that.
Yeah.
Especially with the Hayward injury with the Celtics, you thought that, I mean, this dramatically alters the Eastern Conference. And then the way Kyrie played, even though you knew he was good, you didn't realize he was that good. So I think that's what it was. In Cleveland, you kind of expect to figure it out. I mean, if LeBron was not in some sort of great position heading into the playoffs, you'd be a little bit surprised. They started last night Jordan Bell because Draymond Green didn't play in that game also, and also that Quinn Cook they started, the Warriors, last night.
That's right. They brought him up from the G League. The G League now.
That's right. Named
not
after
the D League.
Named after
Greg.
That's right.
The Giannotti League.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Put a lot of money into that.
The gregarious one.
Put a lot of money into that.
See, that boomer coin, man, goes a long way.
I have not gotten one of those checks yet.
Already. But now
you
got an advance and say, hey, I'm
going to
put my name on the league.
There is no advance.
Mm-hmm. Well, they know it's coming. So we're going to put it on there anyway because we know payment will come soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hank's in Austin on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Hank.
Austin, Texas.
Yeah, BJ, I'm in Texas.
Oh, man. Send me some barbecue.
Yeah, well, on my way. We're probably going to do Rudy's later.
Okay. Oh, best cream corn on the planet. Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't suck.
Oh, that just made me hungry.
Well, hey, guys, you were talking about the NFL earlier, Goodell and all of that, and what the players would have to do to at least gain some equal footing. I've always believed that NFL players, you know, being paid the least is kind of backwards given what they do to their bodies and, you know, shoot, their lifespan is barely 60 years old, let alone their career being less than 3 years, I think, now. But, the strike, and this is what I wanted to ask you, Brian, how difficult is it to get all of those players across the league to you know, have solidarity in having a strike? Because what I remember from, you know, back in the 80s and, yeah, pretty much the 80s is it was kind of easy for the owners to almost break the union in a way that, you know, Dallas you know, had people showing up that were crossing the picket line. There were a bunch of teams doing that.
Yeah.
How difficult is it? You know, and you were there, you know, around that time, or at least close to. Give me an idea of what it, you know, how difficult it is to get everybody on the same page, because they all have different, you know, economic requirements, yeah, and house payments, et cetera.
Well, I wasn't around for the strike in the early 80s. I was still in junior high school. But thanks, Hank. I witnessed it. And you guys, I'm not sure you remember the infamous moment when Jack Del Rio was with the Kansas City Chiefs and he and the great Otis Taylor got into it. Jack thought Otis was a scab player, and he punched him.
Did he?
Yeah. And
Otis, was he right about it?
No, he was wrong.
He was not a scab player.
He was a Hall of Famer. How are you going to be one of the players who are trying to come in and break?
It's another reason to fire him from the Raiders.
Across the picket line. No. Yeah, no. I think they kissed and made up after that. But, Hank, that's why you hear the league, not the league, but the players and their union having this conversation now, because, yeah, it is difficult to corral all these different players who have a different socioeconomic situation. It's going to be hard to bring all of them together and have them of one mind and one goal. So you've heard them talk about it. They're in discussion about this as far back as a year, 2 years ago. And they understand what's going to be needed if they are to be able to get on equal footing with the league. So they've been having, and I applaud them, they've been having these discussions. The player reps and the leaders there at the NFLPA, they've been having these discussions for a couple of years, getting everyone primed for what may occur down the road when they enter into new negotiations.
I think every draft class, I mean, immediately conversations have to be had. Right. And I think they're really impressionable at that point, yep, too, because they're like, hey, I just made it to the NFL. And if one of the older players is coming to me and saying, hey, we need your help, you're going to say, yeah, I'll do whatever you need. So I think that's a good time to talk to them at that point as well. Now, Mikey B put something on the rundown that I left on there because I wanted to ask on the air what he meant by it, because it could be a compliment or it could be a dig at Brian.
Okay.
Or it could be both. So I'm trying to figure out where he's coming from here. It says, Victor Oladipo's NBA game finally better than his singing. Brian called his great play without even watching him.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a dig at Brian for not watching the NBA? Or is that a compliment to Brian for being so good at talent evaluation that he barely needs to watch Victor Oladipo to know that the guy is going to be a superstar?
Both. I'm being honest. Both.
I've seen him play since he's been in the NBA.
He's gotten a lot better this year.
Of course. Either you're getting better or you're getting worse. But I've seen the man play. I wouldn't just throw that out there without seeing him play.
He was terrible.
He wasn't terrible.
He was not good.
He wasn't terrible.
For the number two pick in the draft,
he was not good.
He wasn't terrible.
I didn't say he was great then, but he wasn't terrible.
He wasn't.
He's on a bad team.
He was trending towards bust. He's on a bad team now when he's playing really well. No, well, not as bad, but.
Exactly.
But it's not like he's on the Warriors or the Spurs or anything.
He's a baller.
He's on a better team last year.
He's a baller.
He is.
That's right.
He called it.
That's right. You know what? He brings up a good point. He's on a much better team last year.
And he was balling.
No, he wasn't. He was awful.
He wasn't awful.
He was not good.
He was not awful.
Which goes back to Greg's point that Russell Westbrook is a ball hog and makes players worse, not better.
No, he wasn't.
Well, that does go. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome, Gregory.
I appreciate
ball
that.
Hog. He was all they had.
Whoa. See, now you're contradicting yourself.
He was all they had other than Oladipo.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And Oladipo was like, well, I don't want to step on any toes. I'm new here. Let me just let my man do his thing. And I'll do my thing when I can do my thing.
In another organization when someone lets me.
And so that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bad to the bone. He always has been and always will be. Go Oladipo.
Hey, Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott, how are they doing with the Knicks?
Better. Oh. Much better.
It's also very interesting, isn't it?
They were horrible, awful, terrible. Mm. They did well with the OKC.
Enes Kanter right now could be the Knicks MVP.
No
way. Porzingis, but it's close. That's how good he's been. And he's playing defense, too. He's playing defense on Marc Gasol. Yeah. That's crazy.
See if they get to the playoffs.
They won't. Tank Thomas on Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's Best Network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.